Well, good evening, everybody. Good to see everybody today. Let's turn together to Proverbs. And we'll be back in chapter 3. So Proverbs in chapter 3. And we'll go ahead and read together verses 5 through 12. We covered 5 and 6 last Sunday. But we want to connect some dots, so we'll read Proverbs 3, and beginning in verse 5 to verse 12. And this is the word of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. Filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. So brethren, this is the word of the Lord to us. Solomon writing to his boy, to his son, who he trusts in the promise of God will be a future leader of a nation, but also, as we've noted throughout our study on Wednesday nights, more broadly to all future leaders of the nation. He's investing in his son by training him and giving him moral instruction. And just parenthetically, wouldn't our world be better if parents, fathers, passed on moral instructions? That's what Solomon is doing here with his boy. And we saw in verses 5 through 8 this urgency that Solomon has to plead with the son to trust in the Lord with all his heart. And so as a father to his son, he's pleading with him that he would have wholehearted commitment to Yahweh, the Lord. And he is pleading with him not to lean on his own understanding, but to acknowledge the Lord in all his ways. And the promise of this is at the end of verse 6, he will direct your paths. And we noted that he'll make your path straight, the way that New American Standard Version would translate it. And we saw our last time together the contrast between this straight path and the crooked path we saw in chapter 2. The path of perversity, the path of wickedness, and the path of evil in chapter 2. And now in the text that we're going to focus on this evening, what we're going to see is wisdom applied. In other words, how do you know that you're trusting the Lord with all your heart? And how do you know you're not leaning on your own understanding? And how is it that you acknowledge him in all your ways? And what Solomon is going to do for his son and the Lord's going to do for all of us, he's going to give us two really powerful illustrations of this, right? And one of those is our possessions or our money. And you know this, that this is a major pain point. Are you trusting the Lord with all your heart? That's going to express itself in the way that we think about money and how we use our money. Are we kingdom focused? Are we self-focused? Is it about the glory of God or is it about us? And then also, not just our possessions, but also you might say our pain, our suffering, or as Solomon puts it to his son, the Lord's chastening, the Lord's discipline in his life. And Solomon is going to try to help him to see that the Lord does this for those whom he loves. And so to think about our trials and sufferings, even as God's not wrath on you, but God's loving and kind discipline in your life to accomplish his purposes, which are always, right, always for our good. And so we'll see that as we walk through this, these two illustrations to show us how we should trust the Lord with all our hearts. And so we have, you know, wisdom concerning possessions in verses 9 and 10, and we see that Solomon is telling his son to honor the Lord with his possessions. Honor is another word for glorify, and the Hebrew here is a word for weightiness, heaviness, right? And so the idea is, as those who love the Lord, we desire to glorify God through everything. It's all His. And so the issue, as it always really is an issue of lordship. And so Solomon is instructing his son, son, glorify God, worship God, serve God. Consider this a heavy, high calling, a privilege to make his great name known and famous and lifted up by the way that you use and think about your money. And so the idea here is priority. It's to honor the Lord. It's rank. It is importance. And so the point is, honoring or glorifying is not about honoring yourself. It is about honoring the Lord with our possessions. And so the question here is, do we own possessions or do they own us? And so Solomon is instructing his son not to allow possessions to own you. And so he's saying that wisdom's desire is to make the Lord's great name known using our money. So I would ask us, how do you think about possessions? And think about, what do you worship? You know, our Lord taught that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he calls upon us to store treasure in heaven, right? Where, moth can't destroy and it cannot be stolen. And our Lord tells us that you cannot serve two masters, right? You can't serve God and money. You're going to love the one and you're going to hate the other. And he warned that the love of money, the love of mammon, the love of money is the root of all evil, root of all kinds of evil. And so again, it's not calling us to poverty, but it is a call to stewardship and right thinking about the lordship of Jesus over everything in life, including our possessions. And so he's warning his son to be careful about honoring the Lord with his possessions. And to not do so, of course, is great sin and it's great folly. We are to glorify King Jesus with everything that he's gotten us. And of course, the opposite, brothers and sisters, of the opposite of honor is to dishonor. It is to consider these things lightly, you know. And that's how many people are when it comes to their possessions. You know, what's mine is mine, and I've earned it, And anything that's kind of left over, I'll think about doing something for the kingdom with it. But rather, we should hold these things in high esteem, that we are called by God to be good stewards of everything He's given us. And so here's the question for me and for all of us, and I hope we'll take it to heart. As the Lord looks at your life and your possessions, when he sees someone who is a good steward of what he's given, is he honored? Is Christ glorified by the way that you think about money and the way that you steward your money? And, you know, especially in this modern age, we're leaving a paper trail, right? Anything you do, there's some kind of paper trail. And if you were just to follow the paper trail, would that paper trail in some way show that you have a priority of ordering your household, ordering the affairs of your budget to the glory of King Jesus? And, you know, brothers and sisters, this is not like a pitch for tithing. This is not about throwing out percentages. It's just about worldview, and it's about thinking through your life and rightly ordering it for the glory of King Jesus by thinking about, am I giving toward missions? Am I giving toward the local church? Am I giving toward helping others with benevolence? Am I making room in my life that I can show hospitality, sometimes just expensive? And so just thinking through these kinds of things, am I glorifying Jesus? Am I honoring the Lord with my possessions? Or do my possessions own me? Now think about the irony of that. Many people don't own things, they own them. And they become slaves to them. And it's never enough. And they live their life in covetousness, always wanting something that belongs to somebody else. They long for it, they wish for it, they never get it, and it's anger and frustration, and that's a functional slave at that point. You become a slave to this idol, and that idol must be called out, and certainly must be cast down. And a few things I think we should most certainly see in regards to verses 9 and verses 10 is, number one, literally the word honor, to honor the Lord is from your wealth. So honor the Lord with your wealth is the New King James way it's rendered. But I think a better way, some commentators say, is from your wealth. And the whole point of this, sounds nitpicky, but the whole point of this is, again, a matter of stewardship, that you're honoring the Lord from your wealth. So in other words, you're purposefully the type of person who's budgeting to set aside some funds to go toward God's church, God's kingdom, and God's purposes. So honor the Lord from your wealth. And the second is, we see this phrase, your first fruits. And the idea here is, most certainly, from the Old Testament, for example, Exodus chapter 23 and verse 19, we see the best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of God. So your first fruits you shall bring into the house of God. And so the first fruits here is the best of the harvest. That's the idea. And so how do you honor the Lord? Well, you simply give your first and you give your best. You don't give the last and the leftovers. You give the first and you give the best. So I think an application of this for us, again, is households, right? You think about and you purposefully set up a budget to where you're being honest about where you're at. And listen, brothers and sisters, it is okay to live a simple life. Did you know that? It's okay to live a simple life. And it's okay if you can't afford, you know, Disney vacations and European trips, and you can't afford famous, you know, diamond rings for the 10th and 25th and 50th wedding anniversary. It's okay. It's okay not to have a lot in this world. But what Solomon would call us to do, what the Lord would call us to do, is whatever the Lord in his providence has stewarded to you, make sure whatever that is, that you're honoring the Lord with what he has given. Every good and perfect gift comes from your Father above. And so therefore, order your affairs, order your budgets in a way that reflects your love for the kingdom and your desire to glorify and honor the Lord Jesus through your giving. And so I'd ask you, are we giving to the Lord the first place of honor in regards to your stewardship, in regards to your finances? If not, don't receive this as some sort of crushing blow. Rather see that as the beloved children of God, you've got this calling on your life, and it's a wonderful thing to have a calling on your life. And so therefore, you go home and you begin to think about, all right, then, well, what can go? Can this activity, this unimportant, whatever it is, fill in the blank thing that I see on the list of my budget, I can let that go. And then I can steward, I can funnel some money towards something that I know would build up the body of Jesus, and it would glorify the Lord Jesus. And you begin to make room for that. And you know, brothers and sisters, there are some people that have just, you know, it's a new thing. And they don't know where to start. And so where you don't start is a mile high of legalisms that you're just going to crush you. Rather, what you do is you just start, right? You just look at things and you're honest about it. And you just make room. And you think, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, if I'm giving 2% of my finances to the Lord's work, by God's grace, next year, the year after, I could be up to 3 or 4% if I need to. And you just keep building, and that is Christian discipleship, and that's Christian maturity. And so the point of this is find a place that you can grow and step up. And I would say, especially to newer Christians or younger, generally younger people who are in our body, a lot of people don't realize that some of our older saints over the course of their life, listen to this, a lot of saints who are older over the course of their life have given hundreds of thousands of dollars to God's church. Have you ever thought about that before? It's just, if you think about it, tithers, and you start doing multipliers, it gets pretty big. And what happens is, this happens to all churches, eventually those saints get to go home to be with Jesus, right? They get to go home and be with Jesus. And what happens is, younger saints need to think about, okay, we've leaned on these pillars of the church to kind of carry us and to hold us up. And one day you have to be that pillar, you see. One day we have to be that pillar, you see. So I would say any of us who are maybe newer Christians, or we just haven't really given a lot of consideration yet to giving toward God's work, be thinking about those things, because God's called you to that. And our time to be pillars is also upon us. So let's be thinking about that. And it should also help us to think through how we treat our older saints who've given sacrificially so much over the years. It's a sad thing sometimes when churches, they cater toward young people and treat their older people like there's not a place for them. That's a reality for a lot of churches, and it's very sad. I hope we don't do that at TRBC, that's for sure. So we want to give money towards God's work. You know what? I think what we'll do is we'll save the second point for next week. But before we finish up, though, I did want to say, you know, giving is a great joy. It's a great joy. It's a great calling. It's a great privilege. Please never think of giving as a great burden. It is not a great burden. It is a great joy. Jesus, by his grace and power, has called you to belong to him. He has called you from the world. He's called you from death to life. Now you belong to Jesus. Now you belong to the church of Jesus. And so just think about the great joy it is to build up, to be part of investing in the kingdom work that God has for each and every one of us. And when you think about that, it's going to give us that cheerful heart that Paul calls us to. Paul didn't say, be a begrudging giver, but just give, for Pete's sakes, right? He calls us to be happy, cheerful, joyful givers. So I would call upon us to be happy and cheerful and joyful givers in all things. And, oh, there is a promise. And I did want to finish with the promise, right? That's the counsel, but do look at the blessing. And the blessing is your boss. This is a principle, right? It's not an absolute guarantee or an absolute promise. But in principle, we see in verse 10, your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And so there is a kind of an if-then thing going on here. And brothers and sisters, it is just the blessings of God. You're not supposed to be able to naturalistically explain verse 10. What Solomon is saying is, son, if you in your life will prioritize above all things worshiping and glorifying God in every area of your life, including with your possessions, just see, son, it's a promise to see. It's not an absolute guarantee promise, but in principle, you will see the blessings of God flow back to you. And Matthew Henry has a word about this. He says, those who do good with what they have shall have more to do good with. That's pretty simple, and that's all he's saying. If you are a good steward of the good things God's given to you, more good things, in principle, the Lord is going to bless you with, so you can do more good with those things. It is simply the blessings of God. So, brothers and sisters, let us, by God's grace, be good stewards of all his manifold blessings. They are many. All right. Well, let's close our devotion in prayer, and we'll pray together.